baptize me with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Baptize my school with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Could you reach out to the Lord? Is that your prayer? More of you, God, more of you. Not anything less, but more of you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. Come on, somebody. Would you cry out? Would you cry out? His spirit is moving. Could you add your voice to it? Come on, could you add your voice to it a little bit? And cry out to that great God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh! Up every person. You're reaching out. To the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost is having his way in this place. If you can open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 19. How many of you are thankful for that worship? Up here. Women, if you enjoyed your session, all the women, I want you to say, yeah. Young men, if you enjoyed your session, I want you to say, hoo-ha. Praise the Lord. That's why we separate the sessions, because girls, you guys talk about things that we don't understand. I wouldn't have a clue. And same thing with the men. We struggle with things, we battle with things that women wouldn't understand. And you battle with things that men wouldn't understand. But thank God that God understands. And we could always go to him, and he'll always speak to us, and he'll always tell us how much he loves us. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. I give honor to the youth team, the youth president. How many of you are thankful for your leadership here? Give honor to every minister, every pastor here, every aspiring minister, every young person. I give honor to each and every one of you. Some of the young men have come up to me. I mentioned that I had a book that I recently published. I brought about 40 copies with me for those of you that would be interested in buying those. But this is just what it looks like. I gave one away earlier in the session. And I think I'll just give this one away right now, too. I just want to see. I'm going to compare the size right now. What we're going to do is, I want you to scream for Jesus right now. Let me see this side. On 3, 2, 1. All right. Let's see this side. 3, 2, 1. Oh, my Lord. Now that. All right. I'll do it one more time. Scream. On this side, 3, 2, 1.
Jesus!
All right. This side, 3, 2, 1.
Jesus!
Oh, Lord. I'm sorry, guys. This side won. Now, so there's going to be one person that I got to give it to. Okay, I'm going to pick two random people. All right, let's see. All right, you over here, you come forward. You, and you over there, you come. All right, I got two people up here right now. This is all improv. This isn't in my notes or anything. All right, what these guys are going to do is the best out of three, they're going to play rock, paper, scissors for this book. All right. Be seated for a second so we could all see this. I want you to put your meanest face on. You're just your meanest face toward him. Yeah, this is your mean. Oh, yeah, this is serious. This is serious. All right. You guys know how to play rock, paper, scissors, right? You know how to play rock, paper, scissors? All right. We know that, Oh, paper beats rock for sure. All right. All right, rock, paper, scissors, go. Oh, all right. You ready? Rock, paper, scissors, go. Okay, 1-0. Rock, paper, scissors, go. All right, rock, paper, scissors, go. Oh, 1-1. This is intense. How many of y'all are rooting for her? How many of y'all are rooting for him? I figured so. All right, this is the last one right here. 3-2-1, rock, paper, scissors, go. Oh. So here is your book. I pray it blesses you. You may be seated. And I'm going to be having some available before the night service. It's only $10. I may have some available. One of the guys requested, and I have some available. So open up your Bibles one more time. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. The Bible says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." This is Luke chapter 19, verse 41 through 46. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying," this is speaking of Jesus, just as Jesus speaking, "saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another." Why is all this happening? "Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And I want to talk to you this afternoon on the subject of missed miracles in God's visitation. Missed miracles in God's visitation. I want to let you know here that there's such a great potential and an anointing here, and it would be a tragedy to not tap into it in your life. That's the greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy is when Jesus comes back that we did not reach our potential like he would have hoped us to. That's the greatest tragedy. And just to people, not everyone gets this all the time, but in a service, did you know that you will not be blessed determined on how I preach? Did you know I could preach the worst sermon, I could preach my ABCs, I can preach, and guess what? You could still be blessed. Why? And it's not because of me. In order for you to be blessed is not the preacher. And guess what? It's not God. There's not a problem with me. There's not a problem with God. But the responsibility is on your shoulders. So you determine what you get out of this conference. It's not how I preach. It's not by how Brother Pugh preaches. It's how are you going to respond during the preaching of the word of the Lord. So in services, I know just by clapping and just by lifting up the voice, just by being engaged, I already knew who's going to be blessed or not. All right. And so that's what I want to talk about, missed miracles and God's visitation, missing out on God. How many of us can miss out on the visitation of God when he comes and visits us here, but we miss it? That's what I want to talk about, missed miracles and God's visitation. Would you lay your Bibles down? And let's lift up our hands one more time to the skies and let's experience the presence of Jesus Christ right now. Lord Jesus, I pray that you move and I pray that you speak and I pray that there be an anointing and I pray that there be a power and I pray that there be a liberty. Lord, you are the vine and we are the branches. I can do nothing without your spirit, Lord. It's not by might nor by power, but it is by your spirit, God. And I pray that you loose an anointing that destroys strongholds, that breaks fetters in the name of Jesus. Let every yoke be destroyed because of the anointing. Lord, let there be an outpouring of your spirit. Let your spirit move and sweep across this place and minister to your... Come on. Somebody, could you lift up your voice and clap your hands? I feel something moving in this place already. When you come, district lifts up their voice and cries out to God. Oh, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The Bible indicates that there is a time for everything. There is a certain season for everything. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. There is a time and a season for everything. Somebody say amen. It's always important for you and I to understand what season I'm in. What season am I in? It's important for us to understand where we are in life so we can take complete and total advantage of that season. Am I making sense? It's important for you to understand what's happening in my life so I can realize and take advantage of what God is wanting me to do in this particular season. But oftentimes in life, you and I, we find ourselves doing the wrong things in the wrong season. I'm sorry, but if you just found out, if you put your lights up for Christmas in July, you missed it. If it's Christmas time and you start putting the pilgrims on your wall for Thanksgiving, you missed it. It's always important what season am I in. You can't plant apples in the worst of winters. They're like, you're missing it, bro. You're blowing it. You don't know what season you're in. You can't do that in this season. You know, and so if you start, you miss Christmas and you haven't gotten anybody presents, but then July comes and you're like, hey, what do y'all want for Christmas? You missed it. You didn't take advantage of the season. Christmas came, that was the time for you to put your lights up and give the presents. But now we're in July and you're going to look really funny putting Christmas away. What are you doing? Oh, you know, Christmas time. Whoa. You're 5 months behind, bro. Doing the wrong things in the wrong season. Sometimes we find ourselves reacting to the past when it is a season for us to get proactive about the future. Doing the wrong things in the wrong season, where it is a time for laughing, many of us are still mourning. Where it is a time for healing, many of us are still consumed with our sickness. When it is a time for restoration, many of us are consumed with bitterness and unforgiveness towards our parents, so our relationships continue to suffer. Doing the wrong things in the wrong seasons. These are natural things in life, natural seasons in life, and seasons come and seasons go. And sometimes you and I, we are not able to perceive. We are not able to understand what season I'm in. And that's okay. People looking at me like, whoa. You brought me here, bro. And you know, yeah. And that's okay. It's okay to miss these natural seasons. Because God understands these things. Sometimes, unfortunately, we miss it. Unfortunately, Victor Jackson, to be honest with you, Victor Jackson isn't in the season that he should be all the time. Sometimes I find myself just doing the wrong things where God's wanting to bless me, but I'm still bitter. God's wanting to anoint me, and I'm still thinking of past circumstances. Sometimes I got to confess to you, I do the wrong things sometimes in the wrong seasons. Anybody ever done that before? Sometimes, unfortunately, we miss these natural seasons. So it has to start all over again. But God understands these things. He understands that in our human frailties and in our human inadequacies, that unfortunately you and I are prone to missing it. So God helps us out supernaturally, and he reaches his hand out of heaven, and he comforts us by bringing those seasons of healing, laughing, dancing, and restoration, and he brings it all into one single visitation from God. One visitation from God, and you can grab every missed month. You can grab every missed miracle, every missed calling, every missed purpose. Oh, I wish I had somebody that believed that. When God decides to visit, you can reach up and pull your miracle down. All those seasons of blessing that we miss naturally, those missed callings, those missed purposes, all those things, God can bring it all together supernaturally in one single visitation. Some of you have been through things, and counseling, you would have to counsel, people would have to counsel you for years for you to be able to be out of it. But what it takes years of counseling to do. One service when God decides to visit. God could change everything in a moment. You might have came beat up, but you're in the right place. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of it, God can turn everything around. God can visit. Come on, it's not too late. God is visiting. It's not too late. God is here. It's not too late. We can be changed. Oh, somebody say amen. You may be seated. One visitation from God, and you can grab every missed calling, every missed purpose, every missed miracle out of the palm of God's hand. When the seasons came and you were distracted, and the seasons came because you were distracted by relationships, you were distracted by friendships, your family wasn't doing too good, so you missed out a lot. God says, don't worry, I was there, I saw you. But now you're at HYC, and I can give you that calling you missed. I can give you that purpose you missed. I've come to visit you. I've come to turn things around. I've come to move on you. One visitation from God. Jesus Christ came to visit the city Jerusalem, and he wept over this city. The visitation of God had come to Jerusalem. Jesus, he did not weep because of something so terrible. Jesus did not weep because of something so great. Jesus wept because of their inability to perceive. He wept because of their lack of sensitivity. He wept because of their lack of understanding. He said, if thou hadst known. If you'd only known what I had for you. In that service, the power that I had for you. The restoration, the healing, the power, the anointing that I had for you. He came to Jerusalem and he said, I came to bless you. I came to bring salvation. I came to do something for you that you couldn't imagine. I came to touch you like you've never been touched. I came to change you like you've never been changed. I came to move on you. I came to restore your family. I came to restore the broken relationships. I came to heal your emotions. Come on, somebody. That's the Jesus we serve. He comes to visit us, to change us. God has all these strong intentions, and he comes to visit them. And he said, if thou hadst known what I had for that young person, what I had for that young person Saturday afternoon, if only they'd have known. What I had in that service, what I had in that moment, what I had in that time, he wept. When God does not recognize, when we do not recognize when God is visiting us, Jesus Christ is weeping. You think you're crying alone in the middle of the night? Jesus is weeping. Jesus is, he has emotions. When you backslide, he weeps. When you sin, he weeps. He's like, I've come to mend you. Let me change you. Let me touch you. Let me do something in you. And he began to weep and just begin to cry. Come on, the God we serve is not a God that's just sitting on the throne and saying, you do this, you do that. God is with us everywhere we go. He's with us everywhere we go, and he cares for us. He wept because of their lack of understanding. He wept because they were not aware of what he had for them. He wept because they were not able to recognize his visitation. Jerusalem's visitation from God came, but they were not aware. Jerusalem prayed for revival, and Jesus came to bring it, but they were not aware. Jerusalem prayed to be restored, and Jesus came to bring restoration, but they were not aware. Jesus came to heal the broken relationships, but they were not aware. He came to restore. He came to call. He came for the power, but they were not. They were not aware of what they just thought, oh, it's just always going to be like this. I'm always just going to be stagnant. I'll go to HYC every year, be changed for 3 days, then go home and be the same person I was. I'm not rebuking you, don't worry. That's just life, right? Am I right? Is that the way it is a lot of time? We come for this high. But Jesus is weeping. I pray that they take something home with them. I pray that something gets deep inside. I don't want it to just be for a service. I don't want it to just be for a moment. I want them to take something home with them that changes their whole city, that changes their church, that changes their community. Let them take something home. Jerusalem prayed for deliverance, and Jesus came to deliver them. But they were not aware. They were too carried away with the affairs of life. And they were too overcome with the things of this life to be able, that they did not recognize or perceive God's visitation. They were so busy that they missed God. That can happen to us, right? Get so busy that we miss what God is trying to do in my life. Get so busy, get so, just so consumed with what happened or what I did, or I need to do this, I need to do that. Oh God, I got to work this day. You're going to have to move another day. Oh God, I got this thing that I need to do, but so you're going to have to change me another day. But God's like, I'm wanting to visit you now. God weeps whenever we put him on hold. He weeps whenever we put him down on the priority list. When it's family, friends, church, boyfriends, girlfriends, school, job, God. Cries because he said, thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You knew not the time of your visitation. Jesus came to answer prayers, but they were not aware. He said, thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. NIV, it says, you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Amplified version says, you did not come progressively to recognize and to know and understand from observation and experience the time of your visitation. What does that mean? We know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So if there's freedom here, why are you bound? If there's freedom here, why are you depressed all the time? If there's freedom here, why are you still bound? Oh, come on, somebody. Why are you still struggling if there's freedom here? There's freedom here, but you did not experience it. There's freedom all over this place. But many of us have not experienced it yet. How do you experience the visitation? How do you experience the visitation of God? How do you experience when God is doing something? How do you experience it instead of missing it? This is why whenever you preach the word of God, whenever the word of God is going forth, there's the worship and then there's the word of God. Whenever it's going forth, like I said yesterday, that's not a moment, that's not performance. I'm not a performer. I'm not an entertainer. I care about souls. I've come from Florida to here for a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. I didn't come to entertain you. And so I know there, as I travel throughout, I see where the changes happen and where the changes don't happen. And if when the preached word is happening and you're just doing this the whole time, you're not going to be changed. You're not going to be changed. Even just standing up and you're not going to be changed. You're not experiencing his visitation. So how do we experience it? We experience when we have music, which they sing so lovely, the awesome worship. Whenever we have music, why do we have music? We have music because music helps us to open up our spirit to receive. But you know what happens to some of us? We open up our spirit to receive, and we're worshiping and we're praising. But then when the word comes forth, look what we do. But the whole point of the music was for you to open up your spirit. And so when the word goes forth, your spirit's still open so it can get in there. And so how do we experience the visitation? We experience the visitation whenever the word goes forth, whenever worship is happening. We experience that. We open up our spirit by clapping our hands. We open up our spirit by lifting up our voice. We open up our spirit by saying amen to the preached word. If you're silent in church, you're not experiencing the visitation. But once you begin to lift up your hands and lift up your voice, you start experiencing something that you've never experienced before. So why don't you clap your hands to the Lord? And why don't you lift up your voice? And why don't you experience? Look at me. You see how the atmosphere changes whenever you begin to worship and praise the Lord? The devil is so afraid of what would happen if you got on your feet. The devil is so afraid of what would happen if you lift up your voice. The devil is so scared of what would happen if you just got so crazy. So crazy for Jesus. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Because when you begin to clap your hands and you begin to lift up your voice, you start experiencing the freedom. You start experiencing the liberty. You're not bound by the person next to you anymore. But now I'm just worshiping Jesus. Now I just want more. I just want more. I just want more. Oh, come on. Let's do that for a moment, shall we? Can we clap our hands to the Lord and lift up our voice? Somebody, could you clap your hands and lift up your voice to the Lord and experience the visitation of God? Come on, have you felt something? Come on, have you moved on something? Come on. Oh. Anybody feel a difference right now? Anybody feel a difference right now? Come on. When you begin to experience it, Jesus starts coming and says, I want to touch you. I want to move on you. I want to change your life. I want to do something that I've never done before. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. That's why the pastor, when he tells you to say amen, he's not trying to get you to cheer him on. Oh, that's good, Pastor. He's trying to help you out. Because it's the only way you'll be changed. The Bible says that good soil produces fruit. Bible says that the seed went forth, it fell on the wayside, there were thorns, there were all these things, none of them produced fruit. But when it fell on the good soil, it produced fruit. What is the soil? The soil is your spirit. Are you receiving the word, or are you just casting off to the wayside? When the pastor says, you're going to be used by God, are you just, that's not for me. You have a calling. It's not for me. God wants to change you. Not for me. And then they say, well, are you receiving the word? Yeah, I'm receiving it. Oh, really? Because when you receive the word, fruit is supposed to come forth. What is fruit? Evidence. There has to be an evidence of you receiving the word. Actions, habits changed. So if you're just sitting in service every day and you're coming, and you haven't been changed for like 4 years, that's not good soil. Am I helping anybody out there, though? Good soil produces fruit. And so you open up your spirit and you receive the word of God. And then in order to keep that word of God inside of you, you got to act on it. You have to be a doer of the word. Don't just be a hearer. Hearers, it's easy to be a hearer. It's easy to just hear and go on, and it's tougher to do what the pastor and the preacher's been preaching. Amen? It's a little tougher, but guess what? Growth happens whenever you start doing it. And it never stops. It's not just being a young person. This is for the rest of your life. When you're 50, when you're 60, when you're 70, no matter how old you are, you're not exempt from doing the word. No matter how old or young. Oh, we don't like that. We don't like that. I felt some resistance right there. I felt resistance in the Holy Ghost right there. We don't like that. You are called to do something for God. You are called to make a difference. You are called to turn this world upside down. God is pulling on you. Somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated. Amplified version says, you did not come progressively to recognize and know and understand from observation and experience the time of your visitation. They were so busy with their selfish affairs that they missed their miracles and God's visitation. They were so consumed in their lives that they missed their miracles and God's visitation. They missed their purpose. They missed their calling. They missed their future. All because they were so consumed with what was happening in their lives. They're consumed with school. They're consumed with sports. They're consumed with all these things, and they miss their miracles and God's visitation. And I come to preach to you under the anointing of the Holy Ghost as a man of God. God has come to visit Alaska. God has come to visit this church. God has come to visit HYC, and I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Come on. I felt the anointing of God. I felt the power of God as the music played, as the choir sang. I felt something move on me. I felt something shake me. I felt something happen. This is a visitation. This is a visitation from God. Every service you are in, God makes a conscious decision to come down and visit you. The Bible says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. Who are we that God would want to come and visit us?
He created the moons, the stars. He created the earth. He created all of us. And who are we that God would want to step down in HYC and say, I want to visit you? That's God's desire. He says, I want to come and visit you and talk to you and change you. But you know what happened in the Bible? Guess what they did? I'm fine. The God of heaven. That came down to die for our sins. Came to visit me and you. How can we have the audacity to say, I'm fine, God. Get away. I'm good how I am. And Jesus weeps. Jesus weeps. He weeps. You may be seated. Every service is an opportunity to tap into God's visitation. God is speaking through your pastor. Somebody say amen. God is speaking through your pastor. God is speaking through your preacher. God is speaking to you. You ever been to a service where you felt like you did the best job you could, and you read your Bible, and you studied, and then the pastor gets up the next day, and he preaches on what you were studying? That ever happened to anybody? The one time you did study, pastor comes and preaches what you said, you're like, wow, that's God confirming to you. Saying, I'm speaking with you, and I'm speaking through him to you. Isn't that amazing how God works? And you go to pastor. Pastor! I was going to preach that. That's how God speaks. He speaks through your pastor. Anybody love your pastor? God has come to visit us here in Anchorage, Alaska, and we must take full advantage of this visitation. Do not wait till the last night to get your breakthrough. Do not wait till the last service. Do not, when God is moving, you gotta move when he's moving. I just want to tell you what's contained in the visitation. Before the visitation, the possibility of the relationship being restored between your parents. It was impossible. But now that the visitation has come, it's possible. Before the visitation, the doctor said the sickness was going to kill you. But now that the visitation has come, healing is within your grasp. Before the visitation, the Apostle Paul was the greatest persecutor, but after his visitation at Damascus, he became the world's greatest preacher. The old persecutor was gone as though he was never there, and a new preacher arrived to take his place as though he always belonged. Before the visitation, I was a college basketball player. I played college basketball, being recruited, having scholarship offers. On my way, I got friends playing in the NBA, friends playing professionally overseas right now. That was my future. That was my goal. That's what I put hours upon hours in. That's what I put 11 years in. 7 a.m. to 11 p.m., every day, basketball. Put my whole life into it. I consecrated myself to it. But then one day my visitation came. And I was walking through that college campus. I had a white beater on and basketball shorts, and I had a Jesus chain. Jesus piece.
holding my neck down. But I was all cool and big stuff, you know. I'm the captain of the team, and we're number one in the nation. I'm the big guy on campus, you know. I got my Jesus piece, you know. Someone asked me, hey, sitting down, hey, you want to come to a Bible study? I was like, let me see what these people are talking about. Go over. They start talking about the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in other tongues. I got up from that Bible study. I said, I guess I don't have the Holy Ghost, but I want it. That Sunday, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I've never been the same because I took advantage. I took advantage of it. I received the Holy Ghost. My eyes open up. My eyes open up. Within 2 months, I'm going to 6 Bible studies a week. I'm just so hungry. I'm just so hungry. I never saw this before. I never had God just come and visit me like that before. Let me tell you, what you're experiencing right now, a lot of the world doesn't get to experience. My eyes open up. I'm teaching Bible. I start teaching Bible studies. I start having college basketball players coming to my room for Bible studies. 15 people in those Bible studies in my dorm. It was a sinful campus. But in the midst of that sinful campus, there was always a Bible study going on for people's lives to be changed. I'm teaching Bible studies. I'm like, God, I just want to be used by you. God, I know you're still working on me. There's still some flaws that I have. But, God, I want to do whatever I can to please you. I'm teaching Bible studies. Next thing you know, I go to a youth congress. And by the way, basketball players, they start getting baptized in Jesus' name. They start receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on. All because of one person that took advantage. Let me tell you. And so next thing you know, I go to youth congress. God calls me to the ministry. And I'm like, oh, my Lord, God's calling me to the ministry. I'm like, well, talk to my pastor. My pastor confirms it. The power of the Holy Ghost falls. I'm like, man, I've never experienced anything like this before. But when the pastor preached, I always thought, how can I obey this? How can I apply this? How can I do this? Because I want to grow and I want to change. I want to do something that shakes my world. Anybody has that inside? I want to do something. I want to do something for God. I don't want to be average. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to just be another pew warmer. I want to do something that turns my world upside down. Next thing you know, here's the faithful moment. I'm teaching a Bible study, and this girl, she's not receiving the Holy Ghost, and she's just stone cold, stone wall. Next thing you know, the audible voice speaks to me, audible voice of God. I never heard it before. It just speaks to me, tells me everything she's going through. I say, ma'am, God's speaking to me. This is what you're going through. The girl just breaks down crying. She receives the gift of the Holy Ghost. We baptize her. And I'm like, man, I'm on a high. I'm still playing college basketball. I'm the captain. We're number one in the nation. I'm a starting shooting guard. And the next day, I go to Tallahassee for this big college showcase with all the college coaches. I'm receiving letters in the mail. I'm doing all this. I have a good showing at this college showcase. All these people wanting to recruit me. I'm like, man, I'm on the high. I'm serving God, and I'm doing my own thing. This is awesome. But then Sunday came. And that Sunday is why I'm standing here right now. I'm in the altar. I'm praying with people. That audible voice came to me again. And it says, give it up, you're done. Give up basketball, you're done. I'm opening up different doors for you. You're going to minister to others. Give it up, you're done. I start weeping and I start crying. This is 11 years of my life. This is what I slaved for. This was my heart. This is where my family was pushing me. My family believed in me to make it to the NBA. God's telling me, give it up. You're done. I was like, well, I just want to, I heard your voice. I know you came to visit me, but God, I'll do whatever. I'll do whatever, even if it hurts. Even if I don't understand it, even if I feel lonely. I went to my coach. I fasted that next day, and I went to my coach. We had a practice. I missed it. I went to my coach. I said, Coach, God spoke to me to quit basketball. He's like, you're the captain of the team. We're number one in the nation. He's like, don't do this. Wait till college is over. Finish your 4 years. Go to the pros and then do ministry. But wait. I said, what do you do whenever God speaks to you? I said, what do you do whenever God speaks to you? My athletic director said, what are you doing, son? My family said, what are you doing? You're throwing your life away for this God that you can't even see. All my family lives in Louisiana. I'm in Florida playing college basketball. They're like, if you're going to quit, you come home then. You come home. God wants me to stay here. God spoke to me. I had to make a decision. And there's no difference between me and you. The only difference is I took full advantage of my visitation. I took full advantage of my visitation. Guess what? And you know what I could have did when that Bible study was open to me? Forget it. And I'd be all playing professional somewhere, still empty inside. I had the opportunity to either miss my visitation and be in sin or take advantage of the visitation and help others be saved. We come to that point every service. We come to that point every service. Will I take advantage of the visitation or will I miss it and others continue to suffer? I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. There's no difference between me and you. There's no difference between you and the Apostle Paul. When you look at the Apostle Paul, you're just looking at a persecutor that took full advantage of his visitation. When you look at Victor Jackson, you're just looking at a basketball player that took full advantage of his visitation. Come on, you've got to take advantage of the visitation of God so you can be changed forever. And something will move in you. Something will touch you. Something will happen. Everyone stand with me. The musicians can come right now. Everyone stand with me. The musicians can come. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Somebody lift up your hands right now and talk to the Lord and say, God, I'll do whatever. Lord, I'll do whatever. God, I'll do whatever you called me to do. I'll do whatever you called me to do. God, I want to feel after your presence. I want to feel after your anointing. Oh, God, I'll give up whatever. I'll do whatever. I'll give up the video games. I'll give up the sport. I'll give up whatever you need me to give up. I just want more of you. I'll give up the relationship. I'll give up the friendship. I'll give up whatever I need to give up. I just want more of you. I just want more of you. I just want more of you. Every person, put your eyes on me right now. When the visitation of God comes, oh, hear me right now. I feel the Holy Ghost.
when the visitation of God comes, when God comes and visits us, it's a time for us to experience our purpose and experience the blessing and experience the calling and the miracles. But that word visitation, it also means inspection. It means inspection. He comes to visit with blessing, and he comes to visit with anointing. But when we don't respond, he begins to inspect. He begins to examine. Why? Why aren't they taking advantage? Why? What are they doing? What's on their mind? What's on their hearts? What relationships are they in where they don't respond to me? Why are they so callous towards me? What did I do to hurt them? What did I do? I just tried to love them. I just tried to love them in their lonely seasons. I just tried to touch them in their lonely seasons. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? God comes to inspect, and he says, where are they? Where are they? Where are they? I want to bless them. I want to do this for them, but I got to inspect. I got to examine. What are they doing to where they cannot be sensitive to me? God is examining hearts right now. God is examining hearts right now. Where is your heart at? Is your heart in the world, or is it here? Is your heart out there, or is it here? He's examining right now. Every person come to the front right now, hands lifted, talking to Jesus. Everyone come to the front right now, hands lifted, talking to Jesus. I wish you would make a commitment today. God, I'll do whatever. God, I'll take advantage. Come on, move to the front and cry out to the Lord. Move to the front and cry out to the Lord. God, I'll do whatever. I'll talk, oh God. I'll pray. I'll read. I'll study. God, I just want you to visit me. I just want you to touch me. Come on, every hand lifted right now. Lift up your hands to Jesus. Lift up your hands to Jesus and cry out. Cry out. Cry out. Cry out to the Lord.